Welcome inside the Locked On Baker Mayfield podcast. Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Might as well be the Locked On Baker Mayfield podcast. I'm John Ledger.
We got to rebrand.
It's getting that point, right? I mean,
after last night, got to rebrand.
Whew. Last night was fun. That was fun, man. What a blast.
Yep. There was so much involved in Baker Mayfield's performance. I mean, you have, obviously, you never want to see a guy to go down with injury. But obviously, Baker, clearly, like, this was the right move for the Browns. So it continues to be hilarious how Hugh Jackson stumbles into the right things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on. There's no way Hugh Jackson would have drafted Baker Mayfield number one overall. No freaking way. Okay. Then he decides to start Tyrod Taylor. Okay, whatever, I guess. But Baker
trading
clearly better.
Right.
Not even close. And he Tyrod gets hurt and he just falls into it.
Yeah.
He just falls into this success. It was so much fun watching it last night. I mean, obviously, Cleveland has some of the most passionate, crazy football fans in the world. So to see them celebrate one win against a bad Jets team at home like it was a Super Bowl was awesome.
Right. It was.
I don't even say that with any hate.
I wish they would have stormed the field. That was awesome. My only desire that didn't happen. I wish they would have stormed the field. It would have been epic. I don't know how plausible that is in an NFL stadium.
The security in the NFL is a lot better than it is in college football. So it'd be very difficult for you to do that without getting absolutely tased.
hey, but even some people got to be not afraid to be great. Take a tase for the team.
Would have been great for the views.
Speaking of great for the views, sidebar here, but did you see this freaking raccoon jump off a building?
Oh, I thought you were about to talk about the possum that was in the Brown Stadium, which is also insane. Oh,
that is true. Yes. It's been a really
strong
weekend on social for wildlife.
Wait, is a raccoon technically a rodent? Is it possum a rodent?
Yeah, I said wildlife. I mean, I think.
I was trying to make it a little more specific.
I don't know what rodents are. Rodents are mammals. We gotta learn about our
animals. Yeah. If you're the Browns, the next home game, how do you not have a possum like at midfield, like with like a trainer?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Man, how do you not? You gotta recreate just about everything from the other night as much as you possibly can. The same jerseys. Players gotta wear the same jocks. Don't care. Like, you got to capture this, man. I mean, I would think long and hard. I would think long and hard about keeping them suckers dirty. I mean, how many more chances? You got to at least get on a little roll, and then you start taking some liberties with your superstitions. But, they won one game since, like, what, 2015 or something? Like, this is crazy. Like, this is serious. You treasure this. But, I don't. To be honest, in all seriousness,
You gotta bring a possum out to midfield before every home game this season. You have to do it.
Like a sacrifice?
No, God, no. Okay. Jesus, right. Dude.
Well, what are you doing with them?
No. Like, you're bringing it out like Lion King style. You're like holding up the possum.
Lion
the crowd
King
is absolutely
style.
Insane.
Listen, there's been adaptations of that Lion King scene where Rafiki tosses Simba off the Pride Rock, so I'm just saying, my suggestion wasn't that wild. You do what you have to do to capture wins.
All right, fair enough.
But this raccoon, I know we're way off topic, but this raccoon was crazy to me. Like, this dude was up 9 stories, jumped off and didn't, like, you know, nimbly land upon his feet like
smack.
A cat or something. Like, this dude belly smackered off the ground.
Walked off. Like it was nothing.
This guy was trying to get ultimate splash on the belly smacker. I thought his insides were going to burst. It was like, I was horrified. And then he all of a sudden just scrambles up and runs off.
If we're being honest, that raccoon's probably dead.
You think? How'd he run off like that? It looked agile.
Maybe not. I don't know,
maybe,
man.
Maybe it was in shock. And then
there's 9 stories.
I know. And like I said, like, he literally landed right on his gut. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I thought he was cooked, but I was encouraged by the immediate aftermath of him scrambling off. But it's very possible it was a delayed reaction, and he ended up biting dust later on. But anyway, back to Baker Mayfield. The most impressive part to me of his performance, everybody obviously going to talk about his poise, I think, which is obviously huge. But like, I don't think it's so much, it's a big moment and it's, how does he do under all this pressure? That's what everybody on the NFL Network set was asking him about after the game. I mean, every question was some version of that. I wanted to be like, ask him like what he saw when he threw the ball to Jarvis at the one. That was the big play. Like, why did he put that ball in there? What do you think about that ball? Like, with the chemistry between he and Jarvis to make that kind of a play without getting any reps together. The ones I was like, ask him some good questions. Like, they just kept asking the same thing. We know Baker isn't fazed by pressure. Like, I know it's the NFL level, so I guess I get it. But, like, it felt like all the questions were like, oh, my gosh, the crowd was so energetic. Well, yeah, they haven't had a quarterback for, like, 25 years, and this guy was the first overall pick. I mean, obviously they're going to get pumped, especially when Tyrod Taylor's out there going 4 of 14 for 19 yards. Like, yeah, they're going to be pumped, like, no doubt about it. But, like, the reality is, like, we knew that part. Like, I wasn't worried about that part for Baker. How quickly he processed coverages and how quickly he decided where to go with the ball and how many windows he attacked that Tyrod never even thinks about attacking. Mm-hmm. The difference between two players was so obvious. I thought it was obvious in the preseason. It was so obvious. And if Baker had played with the ones at all in the preseason, it would have been more obvious to everyone. It was so obvious in this game. Baker Mayfield was superior in every way that matters for quarterbacking.
Yeah. I mean, and this is just kind of like who Baker Mayfield is. You know, this is why he was that number one overall pick. He's brought in to do this kind of stuff. And I think you're right. There is something too that, you know, I hate talking like too much of intangibles, but like there are guys who just have it, you know, for you to step in your first game. And like you said, not be afraid to make the throws that you need to make to win. And I think that's the biggest difference between him and Tyrod. I actually like Tyrod as a quarterback. I think Tyrod's fine, but I think the biggest knock on Tyrod is that you will often see that like he won't attempt.
He's afraid to be great.
He won't attempt the throws that he needs to make in order to win the game. So at that point you go into every week thinking, hey, you know, I mean, I just hope we win the turnover battle. You know, that's it. And that's a really crappy way to go into an NFL game. And the ceiling for such a strategy and especially such a quarterback is really low. And I like Tyrod Taylor, but he doesn't do what Baker Mayfield does. And that was just so evident. I think right off the bat, he's just a guy who pressure just doesn't affect him.
Right.
It just really doesn't. And that's the kind of guys where when you talk about mental makeup and being worth the number one overall pick, Baker is the kind of guy and it's one game, it's against the Jets, but
right. Jets defense has been good though. We should
from
say
what
that.
We have seen. Well, the Lions are god awful,
right? But then Miami, they were even tough against Miami. I mean,
from
Miami.
What we have seen against Baker Mayfield for really the last 3 years of his career, I think it's kind of safe to say that this is who he is as a quarterback, and these are the quarterbacks that you dream of taking number one overall and panning out.
Yep.
These guys that you have seen that kind of trait from, of fearlessness, the ones that will do whatever it takes to win. And I'm not talking about whatever it takes to win as in like taking a backseat. I mean, whatever it takes to win, pedal is to the floor kind of mentality. Because people often, they say that phrase and it can mean a couple of different things. I'm not talking about whatever it takes to win and you're taking a step back as like a roll in the wind. No. I'm saying, you're doing whatever you need to win, looking at Jarvis Landry, having the smallest window possible, making the throw anyways, and then hitting it. Like, that's something that all quarterbacks just do not have.
I want to come back to Jarvis Landry here in a second, but ever since we started this podcast, Trevor, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is we don't always know. We offered our best thoughts yesterday on the podcast, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been great to us. That's why we're urging you. Make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON25, 25, the numbers, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern, you can get an extra $25 free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. LOCKEDON25 is the promo code. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. Jarvis Landry, Trevor, got to throw in this side note because we're going to move to Sam Darnold as well. Didn't we try to tell the people? Why did they not believe us?
Oh, that Jarvis is a real receiver?
Jarvis is more than just a catch a wide receiver screen pass or like a shallow drag.
They can't look beyond situations. That's why.
The box
score. Like how is it Jarvis's fault, the awful offense that Miami had him in?
They only took deep shots to Kenny Stills. Like everybody had a specific role. That was it.
Watch LSU tape of Jarvis Landry. Right. It's not that hard. It's so obvious.
Yeah, and when the Dolphins let him go vertical, he made plays.
Not only did he make plays, he had some stupid catches.
Yeah.
In the end zone, like one-handed grabs, fully laid out for catches, landing on his back. There was a point during that season, obviously I was wrong here, but I said that Jarvis Landry was better than Odell because of how he was performing. Mm-hmm. Midway through that year, I was like, I might take Jarvis Landry over Odell. Now that's not what my final ranking said, and obviously
that's your son too. So.
Oh no, and obviously Odell is turned out to be
the GOAT,
one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But I say that to say, Jarvis was really damn good at LSU. Oh, so why would you think the talent that you literally watched at LSU would go away just because he went to the NFL? What do you think that, he can't catch? He can't run?
What? Right.
That was just, it was mind-boggling, the people that said that Jarvis Landry wasn't a good wide receiver. Now, should he have gotten paid, am I paying him as much as Julio Jones? No, but
you're the Browns and you have tons of space. So
you pay him as a good wide receiver, right, and whatever your cap situation is, I guess, that's all relative anyways, because the cap is a myth, but right, get good players on your team. Jarvis Landry's a really damn good player. Right. So
yeah, it's not nearly as complicated as people make it out to be with him. I don't know why they make it out to be that complicated.
Just the best way to put it. It's just not that hard, people.
I can only catch passes within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. Watch the dude. He makes plays on the ball all over the field. His ball skills are phenomenal. He may not be the greatest athlete in the world. There are other ways to win vertically. I'm not saying he's a speed deep threat, but the guy can win vertically. He's a terrific route runner. He knows how to create separation. And he's proven it this season. He's making plays all over the field for the Browns. Where would they be without him, that receiving core? I know Antonio Callaway's your boy, and he did make the play against the Saints. I'll give him credit for it. Obviously, he's an athlete. The rest of his game drops and lazy routes, and he looks exhausted half the time on the field. And then, obviously, the Gordon situation, just in terms of what it would do to a room without a guy like Landry, just would be deflating. Higgins has just come along a little bit, but nobody with anywhere close to Landry is just huge for that offense right now. So, he was terrific. And remember, he wasn't even 100%. Last night. He was terrific. So that chemistry between he and Baker, very much looking forward to that. Also, both members of the All Chirp team in their respective years. So another notch in the belt for that squad, for that All Chirp squad as well. Okay, Sam Darnold. What are we gonna say about this game for Sam Darnold? Let's rewind to the Lions game. Everybody said he was going to the Hall of Fame after that game. Not everybody.
No, he's already in. But he's an active. Yeah, right. He's an active Hall of Famer.
Right. Was very average in that game, which is totally fine. Again,
yes.
If people came out of that game and everybody was like, yeah, he was okay. He was solid. He made a couple big mistakes.
It'd be different.
His long touchdown should have been intercepted, and everybody would have been on the same page, and we would have just been like, yes. Well, everybody said he was going to the Hall of Fame, so then I talked to you about it. You said, watch the game, and you were like, wow, and wrote an article about it. But he wasn't that great, and you could expect him to continue to be up and down over the next couple weeks. What happens? He's been very up and down over the next couple weeks. He was very inconsistent in college. It's carrying over.
This is Sam Darnold.
He is who he is.
I think, and I don't mean to say he is who he is. I don't want to say the phrase he is who he is, because that makes it sound like we don't think he can get better, which he certainly can.
Right now, though.
But like you said with Jarvis Landry, like it's not that hard to look at things and know. We all think that, I don't know, like somehow things are just going to magically change out of nowhere. Like Sam Darnold didn't have, what was the number? Like 11 interceptable passes last year that just didn't get picked off, that don't count against his statistics. Mm. So when you look at his statistics, you go, oh, he threw this many touchdowns and this many interceptions. But I remember reading an article where somebody went through his entire film and looked and said it was somewhere between like 11, 12, 13, something like that. Like easily interceptable balls that should have been intercepted from Sam Darnold. And it's like, okay, those still exist, even though they weren't in the statistics, even though they didn't shape your narrative because you couldn't go back and look at all of them on the film. So when you see him in the NFL, yeah, Sam Darnold makes really awesome plays. He made that at USC, but Sam Darnold also makes boneheaded plays all the time. Like that last interception, was it the last one? I can't remember.
Last one was just kind of a prayer vertically.
No. Then the one before that.
The one before that was just a frantic play.
Right. It's like, hey, man, if you just kind of handle this a little bit better, you might be able to live to see another day. And instead, he just chucked it right at the dude.
Right.
I think.
Generally, I thought there was a lot of inaccuracy all night. Then there was some poor decisions, some frantic plays in clean pockets. What did we say pre-draft? We said Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen are the most ready quarterbacks to play. Rosen, I think we're going to see here pretty soon. Baker looked like easily more ready than Darnold and or Allen have looked at all this season, and Lamar too. So far so good there. Sam has looked more ready than Josh Allen, less ready than you would like him to be if he were starting ideally as a rookie year one. It doesn't mean they can't win with him. It just means that he isn't there yet where he needs to be. He's also super young. You know, people forget about that. What he came out as a redshirt sophomore, right? So, you know, we have a long way to go with him in terms of his development, in terms of his aging and his ability to retain information. A ton of rookie quarterbacks weren't great their first season. That's completely fine. Right now, he's been average to below average, I think, most of the time. Also, the offense isn't helping him, right? Like, Jeremy Bates is just, that's such a dry offense. There's no creativity. Like, there aren't route combinations that feed off each other to get vertical shots down the field. Like, they're just running their stuff. I don't feel like they're really attacking teams. Like, he likes a play and they run it, but I don't think it's necessarily taking. How many times do they run that wide receiver slip screen to Anunua?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give him credit. The Browns never adjusted to it. They weren't stopping it at all, so I get it. Like, but in the NFL, like, you can't run the same thing like five. You shouldn't be able to. I mean, they're lucky Greg Williams is who he is, because I mean they're out there running the same play, but that was like what, 3/4 of Darnold's yardage for the night was just those little simple slip screens. So it just to me it comes back to the fact that I just think that you're gonna have to manufacture some production for Darnold this season. And man, eventually I hope that offense opens up and like does some more things creativity wise. And because it's hard when you're going short the whole game and then all of a sudden you're asking your receivers, get vertical, you know, run these kind of routes and then come back to the huddle and run them again because we're down and we got, you know, it just doesn't work in today's NFL. We saw with the Vikings and Bradford, you know, years ago. I mean, when they didn't have a running game or an offensive line, so they had to do that short passing. I mean, it's just you got to be more aggressive down the field. I think somebody tweeted out that he had 2 throws 15 yards or more all night, and one was that interception late in the game.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Just a prayer chucking it down the field. So,
yeah.
And I'm not saying like no route was over 15 yards, but I just don't think the scheme is opening things up for the Jets to really be successful right now. So it's multiple. The issues are multiple for sure, but it hasn't been great. We can say that without saying that Darnold will suck the rest of his career. Like, I don't know, you know, that balance can be found, right?
Sure. Yeah. It takes time. There's a reason why we wait 3 years to do redrafts, you know?
Right.
And not 3 games.
Right.
Because we don't want stuff like this.
Right. I think Darnold will ultimately be fine, but this inconsistency and the relative unknown with his game are why he was QB3 and not QB1, and you know why we have said that for months. So do I think he'll be good? Yes. Will the payoff ultimately be there to for people who advocated for him to say he's QB1? It could be. Like, he's super talented. Like, it could happen. But right now, I mean, I think last night really put into focus that Baker is just further ahead of where he is right now. And that's important because there's some assurance in that, you know, and with Darnold, a lot of things are going to have to go right. And the offense, we already mentioned, is one of them. And it, right now it looks, you know, questionable at best. So I think you're going to need a great developmental process with him. And obviously Josh McCown being there is huge. And I think that quarterback coach's job probably will be his next year if he wants it. And so, I mean, it kind of already is his, but so it was an interesting, I mean, last night was fun because you got to see the two of them go toe to toe. I was actually kind of hoping for Darnold to, like, not like steal the thunder from Baker, like, right, but lead a drive at least at the end, you know, like get some energy so we could have this back and forth type of deal. But it was still a fun game. I haven't had a lot of fun like that on a Thursday night in a while. That was a good Thursday night football game.
Yep. Agreed.
We already offered our thoughts on the matchups coming up this week, but hopefully we'll get to see Rosen out there. And I don't know if we're going to get to see Lamar this season much. I mean, other than in relief of Flacco here and there, maybe. But I don't know. Flacco played pretty bad against the Bengals, so we can keep hoping that maybe things move in that direction. So at least being able to evaluate some of these rookie quarterbacks has been very fun so far, and I think we're going to be able to continue to do that moving forward. So hopefully Rosen gets out there and he can join in the fun as well. So there you go. There's our thoughts real quick, throwing it up on a Friday evening for you guys on Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold in their game last night with a little Jarvis Landry love sprinkled in as well. Until next time, which will be on Monday, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.